Good morning again to each one of you. Nice to be in the Lord's house on a nice warm winter's day. Now in Rustenburg it's not that cold where we stay. And on Friday morning we came to Pretoria to my mother-in-law. Now they have a very old, cold house. When you sit in that house in the morning and you feel like you're freezing, just go outside. It will be better outside, I guarantee you. So when we arrived here on Friday morning, it was quite cold when we got out of the car. And I said, wow, but you know, it's cold in Pretoria. And Marlies looked up and she saw the front door open. And she said, but no wonder, Granny left the door open. So we closed it this morning. That's why it's better. But we're here with God in our midst and with the warmth of our fellowship. You know, we sang a few songs this morning. Jesus saves. The nation should know. There was even a phrase where we sang of the islands and the oceans that will respond to God. And as I was thinking about the message for this morning, sharing something on missions, all these well-known passages came to mind. The first guy that I always think of is Jonah. God sent him, and he didn't like the idea, so he fled in the opposite direction. And we know the story of what happened with Jonah and how eventually he did end up in Nineveh and he preached doom. God is going to destroy this place. And then, of course, it didn't happen because of the people's repentance and Jonah wasn't happy. That would be one example of missions. We could think of other prophets. Prophets sent with a message to Israel, turn back to God. But also a message to the other nations. Often as you page through the different prophets, we find the message of God clearly spelled out to mankind. Even when you go through the Psalms, Psalm 67, I think is perhaps the first mission song. The author writes and he says, God, come and bless us. And may all the nations see what you do. And may all the nations come to praise you. It's like something bubbling out of his heart for the nations to come and praise God. Even the disciples of Jesus, they would be good examples of missions. They were guys that went out with a message to share with others the good news. Jesus himself in John 20, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Jesus was a missionary for that matter. He was sent by the Father on a mission. He was sent with a purpose, and in the same way, he sent us out. One passage that I like is in Romans 10. You all know that. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So as I page through these different books of the Bible, and I looked at a possibility, you know, what can I preach on? I came to Romans chapter 16. And you can turn with me to that passage. I've never heard a missions message on that. I cannot even recall hearing a message at all on that passage. It's just a greeting at the end of a book. Paul finishes this masterpiece of theology. When you really get into Romans, you find that it's a complicated book with a lot of difficult issues. But Paul writes this book and he ends it with a doxology, with a praise to God. Just three verses. We will look at Romans 16, verse 25, 26, 27. So if you have your Bibles open, let's read those three verses. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of a mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the greeting at the end of his letter, a praise to God. The only wise God, and he says, let's praise him, let's give glory to him forever through Jesus, our Savior. I think if we want to summarize the three verses, we could just take the first three verses of verse 25 and add them to verse 27. Now to him, the only wise God, be glory forever through Jesus Christ. That's the basic praise that Paul is giving here at the end of Romans. He says, let us give glory to the only wise God. Let's do that. But then he decides to add something in between. He could have written just praise God. Let's give glory to him. He's the only wise God. But he adds things in between that I believe are very important. And as we go through it, I want you to note that. In verse 25, now to him who is able to establish you. Let's just take that. Let's take it bit by bit. Now to him who is able to establish you. It's one of the important themes through Romans. That man can do nothing for his own salvation. But that God is active. And God, through his grace, reaches out to man. And here he comes in his praise of God right at the end. And he says, God is able to establish you. Nothing about man. He looks at God's ability. Dunamis is the Greek word that they translate with able here. God has the power. God has the power to do something for you and for me. He has the power to establish us. Now, as I looked at this concept of establish, and trying to understand what it means, I read through the New Testament and I looked at the different verses where this Greek word establish is used. And as I read through some of them, you will get an idea of what this word hints at. In Luke 9, it says, as the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. It's the same Greek word, just translated a bit differently in the context. Jesus set out resolutely. He had a firm conviction. This is what he was going to do. He turned his face to Jerusalem and he said, this is where I'm going. There's no doubt. He was sure that that was what he wanted to do. In Luke 22, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Then he translates it in this way. Strengthen your brothers. It's to encourage those others. It's to give them some hope again. In Romans 1, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Again, an enabling to stand firm, to do what God demands of us. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, I sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel, to strengthen and encourage you in the faith. 2 Thessalonians 3, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you. And so we can go on and look at these different uses of a word. What it basically comes to is that Paul says God is able to establish you firmly in him. He's able to make you stand, never to move again. God is the one who can strengthen us, who can encourage us. And when we're established in God, we stand firm. The storms of life can come, but they just don't seem to blow you over. Because you're established and you're firm in God. And that's the ability of God. God is able. He has the power to do something amazing in your life. And that's why Paul praises him. He says, praise our God, the only wise God, because just look at what he can do. He can take a sinner like Paul, like me, like you, and he can turn that person's life around. He can establish him. He can put him on a firm foundation and accomplish through him and in him what he wants. How does God do it? How does he establish us? Well, it's actually given in the verse. To him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. God uses the good news. He uses the message of salvation, the gospel of Jesus himself who came to this earth to establish us. Because that is what makes the difference in a man's life. That is what makes the difference in our lives. It shows us how important the gospel is in the life of man. The gospel is heard. Then there's a response of man to that gospel message, prompted through the Spirit of God, that results in a dramatic change in that person's life. In Colossians chapter 1, we read that man is an enemy and a stranger because of his evil deeds and evil thoughts. But then, through the reconciliation of God, of Jesus on the cross, He brings us into the kingdom of light. God transforms people, and He does it through the gospel. He does it through the proclamation of Jesus Christ. That is how God makes a difference, when the gospel of good news comes to us. So Paul comes and he praises this God, the one who sent His Son to proclaim the good news of salvation. Paul went on with the same thing. That's what he's busy doing here. He's writing a letter to the church, proclaiming the gospel. That's what we do from day to day. We preach the gospel, this message of good hope that came from God, in different ways and in different forms, we preach it. God establishes us firmly through the proclamation of His word. God is able to change man's life. God is able to turn things around for us. He can establish us. He can give us direction. He can guide us. He can give meaning to our lives. Simply because He sent Jesus to pay the price in our place. Jesus was the ransom. Jesus was the one that gave His life. His blood was shed for you and me. The reason God can make a difference in your life is because He sent His Son to pay for your sins and for mine. And I think that's an important concept for us today. The most, or one of the most important moments in the history of this world, when Jesus came to the earth. When Jesus, Philippians says, He gave up equality with God. He gave up His place in heaven to come and humble Himself and be a man, just like you and me, to live for us and to die in our place. When He came, He started to preach. And when you look through the Gospels, you will find this phrase repeating over and over. Jesus arrived and He started to preach and He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. He brought the good news and He encouraged people to repent, to turn around, to turn away from the old way of life, to turn to this new good news that He was bringing them. And this self-sacrificial death of Jesus made it possible for us to be transformed, to be established through the grace of God. But I think there's a key passage here in, or a key phrase or two in this passage. At the end of chapter, of verse 25, beginning of verse 26, I'll read the whole of verse 25 again. "Now to Him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ," and listen now, "according to the revelation of a mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known." Paul refers to a mystery here. When you go back in the book of Romans, you find this mystery in other places as well. But Paul refers here to a mystery. There was a mystery that was hidden for long ages past. A mystery that people did not know about. I think when we look at God's people in the Old Testament, if we look at the different characters and we look at the people of Israel, they knew God. Just read through the Old Testament. They knew God. They communicated with God. They had a meaningful relationship with Him. They knew Him as their provider. They knew Him as their protector. They knew Him as their guide, as their king. They knew Him as their redeemer. Just think of David. We know what he did. He committed adultery. To cover it up, he committed murder. And then when he was called out, what did he do? He repented. He went back. He confessed. He knew he had to confess. He knew he had to humble himself before God and beg for His forgiveness. And that tells us something of God. I think that moment that Adam and Eve fell in sin, that moment the relationship was broken between them and God, that very moment God started to reach out to man in order to bring them back to Him. Because God is a God of grace and mercy. And right through the Bible, that is the message. Even when we turn away, He remains faithful. Even when Israel sin, serve the Baals, pray to this God of Molech and all these different idols that we read about. Yes, there are consequences for their deeds. But every time we find God reaching out to them again, bringing them back, drawing them back to Him, because He created man to be in fellowship with Him. And yet, I said Israel knew God. They had a relationship with God. They understood something of sin and the penalty of sin in all their sacrifices and burnt offerings. It came through that they knew blood had to be shed for sin. But there was still something missing. There was still something of the fullness of God's salvation that they couldn't see. And that they couldn't understand. And that's what Paul is saying here. There's something, there's some mystery that was hidden up to that point. The point when Jesus came. But now, he says it's revealed. Now it has been made known. Now there's no guessing. Now there's no human effort that can try and understand the grace of God. He says there's a mystery that was hidden and is now made known. It is a mystery no more. It is a known fact. Now, for you and for me, we know what the answer is. We know what the mystery is that God revealed. He says further on, He revealed this through the prophetic writings by the command of God. Paul praises God in this passage and he says, God, I praise you because I know you can establish me. I know you can make me stand firm. You can give me meaning in life. You can give me strength that I need. We find that in the Word of God. We find that in the revelation of Jesus Himself. We find it today as we listen to the message being preached, that God revealed to us how man should be saved. Wonderful news indeed. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No guessing. We know the mystery that was hidden was made known. It was revealed not only to Paul, not only to the first believers, but to us today. In Romans 10 it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the mystery. That is not a mystery anymore. If somebody asks today, how can man be saved? How can I be set free from this spiritual death that I'm caught up in? We have the answer. We have the answer. It is through Jesus, the Son of God that came to sacrifice Himself in our place. And I can understand that Paul finishes this whole letter with a praise to God, because that is something worthy of praise. God that came and just gave us a way to be saved. God that paid the price in our place. But even though it's good news, there's also bad news. When you think about this passage, there was a mystery. The mystery has been revealed. And you sit here this morning, and I'm here this morning before you. I know the mystery. I know the key. I know the way of salvation. I know how to gain eternal life. I know that God gives it as a free gift to those who believe in Him. It's not a mystery to us. But if we look a bit further, if you look at the world population, the majority of the world population do not know this. And they do not believe us. Even in our day and age, we walk through the streets of Mauritius and you share the message of Jesus with people and they look at you with this blank expression. Who's Jesus? Today there are still people who have never heard. Yes, Paul comes and he tells us the mystery has been revealed. The way has been opened. Jesus came, He paid, and through Him we have access to the Father. But there are people out there who do not know. And I believe for them it's still a mystery. They don't know. And when you look at their efforts, but you know, people try to make sense out of life. People try to get a better life. They worship idols. They pray to the moon and the stars and the sun. They have all these rituals that they go through. They follow their gurus, their holy men. They go and live alone in seclusion, trying to gain some form of holiness, trying to make sense out of life. People in this world still live in darkness, as if there was still a mystery, as if the good news has never been preached. In Mauritius, for instance, where 50% of the population were Hindus, and through this religion, they tried to find meaning in life. They tried to find salvation for their souls. And many of them have never heard. Many of them have never heard that the mystery was revealed. When I look at images like that, and I see people who desperately seek an answer, then I know that was not what God intended. He didn't want man to live in darkness. He didn't want man to struggle on and try to find some solution for their desperate condition. He doesn't like the separation between him and man. And I think that is what is important in this passage. I read the two verses again. Now, to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Christ Jesus, according to the revelation of a mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. Why did God reveal the mystery? So that. Whenever we find a so that in a passage, you can know we're getting to the purpose of things. God revealed the mystery that was hidden for ages past, so that all nations might believe and obey him. That's the purpose of God's revelation. Yes, Paul refers to the fact that God can establish us. He refers to the fact that God revealed a mystery. He refers to the fact that God made it known to us. But why? So that the world may know. So that the nations of the earth might believe and obey him. That's why God sent Jesus. That's why Jesus came. Revelation tells us of a day when people from every nation, every tongue, and every tribe will come and worship our God. He revealed the mystery of salvation so that every nation can know and believe. And I think it's wonderful for us to sit here this morning and to realize what God has done for us. He saved our sins. He saved us from our sins. He forgave our sins. He gave us eternal life. He established us as firmly in his kingdom. But what about those others? What about those out there who has never heard? We have it. We have the answer. And they need the answer. And I think when Paul praised God in this instance, he said, praise be to the only wise God for what he has done. First of all, for him, for Paul. Praise God for the salvation that we can experience as God's children. But praise God that he made it possible for every nation, every tongue, every tribe to know the way of salvation. And that's a challenge I want to put before us this morning. I want to leave us with this challenge. Say, you know, we know the mystery. It's been revealed. It's been made known. We've experienced it in receiving pardon from God. But there are many out there who don't know. I walked into a little shack in Mauritius. A friend of ours, you saw her on one of the video clips, the before Jesus and after Jesus. If you get our email, you would have read of Kavitri. That was her. She phoned us and she said, you know, all my neighbors want to know what's going on with me. They all want to know what happened to me. They say I'm looking younger. They say I'm happy. They say I have purpose in life. They want to know who this God is that could do that. And some of their questions are a bit difficult. I don't know how to answer them. Won't you come? So we went there, sat down one evening, and she had four or five young ladies with her in the in the room. And we started to share the good news. This message that was revealed took them from Genesis, creation of man, the fall of man, the separation from God. And I asked them, how do you think? How can we bridge this gap? How can we be right with God again? And you know, people are desperate to find answers. And yet after some time, they realize that their answers just are not adequate. So I went on to share with them about Jesus that came and what He did on the cross. And I asked them, you know, the Bible teaches us that God gives us this free gift of eternal life. Would you like to have it? The one sat a bit forward. She said to me, how can you not want it? Of course I want to. And you know, what just strikes me every time is that when the mystery is revealed to people, it touches them. You cannot hear the truth of Jesus Christ and not be touched by it. And so that's the challenge for us. We have it. We know the answer. We hear it repeatedly on a weekly basis. We come to the church. We read our Bibles. We hear of the answer. But we need to take it to those who have never heard. Perhaps you say, I don't know how. There's an EE3 group in this church. Go to them. I see Noel sitting there. Ken, I don't know who else are involved in it. Go to them. Say, you know, please help me. I want to know how I can share this good news with other people. Get involved with them. Go to Pastor Charles. Go to Pastor Eric. Go to another leader and say, I want to share the good news with other people. What can I do? How can I do it? The other day we had an image here and we spoke to Darren in Ecuador. Write to him. Get his newsletter. Read what's going on. Lauren, the Murrays, you can even come to Mauritius and visit us, you know. Contact the missionaries. Hear what's going on. Pray. You know, there's so much that we can do. And it doesn't really matter what we do. You might be supporting missions financially. You might be praying for missions and missionaries and the people who are lost. You might share on a regular basis at work, at home, wherever you go. You might want to go to another place to share the gospel. It doesn't really matter how we do it. But what matters is that we have the answer and we have a responsibility. What did Carol say to the little ones here? Who must take the invitation? It's us. We have it in our hands. We have a good news. We have a message for the mystery that was revealed. And we need to take it out to those who don't know. And so Paul ends this book. And he says, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of a mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey Him. To this only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, just a simple greeting, a doxology at the end of Romans. And yet, Lord, as we look at it, we find the deep truth of Your salvation embedded in this passage. Jesus, how You came to pay the price for us. How You made it possible for us to have free access to the Father. Thank You that You revealed the mystery. Thank You that You made it known. Thank You that we can experience it today. Thank You that we can live established by You. But Lord, we think of millions of people out there who have never heard the good news, who are still seeking on their own for an answer. I pray, Lord, that You help us with this responsibility You give us. Lord, that every moment of every day, we will seek opportunities to make the mystery known. Through our giving, through our prayers, through our going, through our words of encouragement. Lord, so that in the end, people from all nations can come and stand alongside us and say, now to Him, the only wise God, be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.